Hello and welcome to our program, That Guy's Mom, today here on Fresh Start Broadcasting. We highly encourage you to read the program description and listen to the past shows to get a full understanding of this amazing story that's touching lives worldwide. So sit back and enjoy the program. Here's Andrea, That Guy's Mom.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today on That Guy's Mom. We're here with Ann Mayer, who is That Guy's Mom, and we're excited to be able to talk to you today. You can read more about this story at www.themattmayerstory.com. Great inspiration, a lot of words of wisdom and insight. If you're going through a traumatic time, tough time, you have tuned into the right place, because this is a place where we know you'll find help and find hope. And be able to move through whatever it is you're going through. My name is Scott Durbin. I am the pastor at Seashore Community Church in Cape May, New Jersey. And it's a privilege to host this with Ann Mayer. Ann, how are you today?
Real good, Scott.
We want to remind our listeners that if you're into the iTunes and having an iPod and all that, you can pick up this show on iTunes and make sure you tell your friends you can subscribe to it there and get it weekly as it comes out.
Yeah, you know, with the iTunes, and I'm so not techno smart, but apparently I've received a few emails from people who say they listen while they're on the treadmill on their iTunes. So if you don't want to be stuck just, you know, having time to listen to this show, download it on your iTunes.
Right. And a great way just to stay in the loop, and especially if you're going through a tough time, we'd encourage you to keep these words with you, be able to draw encouragement from it.
Also, we're going to do a mind-body-spirit update.
That's right. Update from prison, from Matt, some of the stuff that's going on there. It's really cool because on the tier, they started this MBS, which stands for Mayer Brothers Soccer, but in there, it stands for mind-body-spirit. They start out with a few guys, and they spend some time exercising. They have a thought for the day or some kind of spiritual component, and they have now grown to 30 men on their tier that participate in this.
It's 30 out of 38.
Yeah, and there's only 38 on their tier. So
I know. I was thinking the other night how weird it must be for the eight. Like, yeah. You know, are they watching and thinking, what are we missing? You know?
Yeah, what those dynamics might be.
What a blessing. And what do you think the guards might be thinking? I mean, a lot of thoughts came to my head. To God be the glory, seriously. Just to think of men sitting around, men, and sharing.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because in prison, you generally go thinking that the guards are the ones who are, and it is a correctional program. Mm-hmm. So you go into this program for correcting a behavior, which I think sometimes we lose sight of because some people's behavior don't get corrected.
Yeah.
And here the inmates, you know, are really taking control of their own lives inside and making a difference and choosing. A lot of these guys, for the first time in their lives, are choosing to make a positive choice in their life and not a destructive one.
And you know what's cool, too? There's a scripture that says that God's word never returns void. So it doesn't matter what the intentions are. Doesn't matter if you're there just from peer pressure. The word of God has the power to transform.
Absolutely.
So that's pretty cool.
And the transformation is complete transformation.
Yes.
Some parts take a lifetime to happen. But so often I watch people's lives completely changed. And I can honestly say, even to this day, my life is still being changed by the Word of God.
Absolutely.
It doesn't stop.
Even with our own church, Scott, like the Celebrate Recovery that we have, those people know what it means to be transformed. These are people that were, you know, drug addicted or addicted to any unhealthy behavior.
Yeah, yeah.
And I watch them, and sometimes they have way more zeal than those of us that have not been amazingly transformed by some big giant sin. And isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Well, and growing up in the church all my life, I never had a transformational moment.
Uh-huh.
But what I have come to realize is that my journey, although it may be different, I still have had profound changes, and we can all have that.
Right.
And that's so awesome about the Word of God, and you're right. I can't imagine what it's like on the tier.
Oh, well, okay, we're going to get to that in 1 minute, because I have a rebuke for Pastor Scott, but we'll wait a minute because I have to do things in order.
Yes.
So if the rebuke may take half the show, so why should I interrupt it with an announcement? So here we go. I wanted to just say that we were contacted by a foundation in North Jersey called the Rebecca Vieira Foundation, and their theme is all about driving responsibly, and their logo is Say Yes to Life. Wonderful, wonderful people. They lost their daughter, if you can only imagine, 2 hours after her high school graduation. Promising future, and she got into a car with a friend. He was speeding, boom, and she's gone. What these people have done with this foundation, though, they contacted us. They found Matt's webpage. And this is what I love about them, because a lot of times foundations can become very covetous of their own cause. And so almost like churches, then nobody wants to hold hands with anybody because then we might lose something, instead of realizing the power that you gain when you hold hands with other organizations. And what I love about them is that even though Matt's situation is a drunk driving situation, they saw that he speaks out. And that's just another piece of the puzzle on driving responsibly. So they have invited my husband and I to a function that they're having. And I just see really good things coming from this joint union of our message and their message to reaching young people and to make a difference. So we're excited to be part of the Rebecca Vieira Foundation. And I'll be updating us more on that.
Yeah, that would be a great thing for people to check into, too, and events that are coming up for that.
Yes, they're online. They're from North Jersey, too. But, okay, so let's get to the Pastor Scott rebuke.
All right, let's do.
Can you believe this? Seriously. All right, so one of the shows, Scott visited my son. First, he tells me how he brags about Taco Bell before he gets there. Or, you know, not that, look, I don't expect Matt to have Taco Bell in prison, believe me. But I am still a mom, and if I could smuggle Taco Bell in there for him, I would. But I read in Matt's blog, and this is how I find things out. I'm telling you, Matt doesn't tell me anything. I'm reading in his blog, and he says, oh, I had a great visit with Pastor Scott. But he asked Scott when he first came out there, can we just sit quiet for 10 seconds? And he said in his blog, I hope he doesn't think I was crazy, but there's no quiet time ever.
Right. Yeah. And it was interesting because we kind of sat there and he says, I haven't heard this.
Yes. Quiet.
He said,
because
you can imagine with 30 plus 38 guys on your tier, you have officers coming and going. Somebody's always talking. The TV goes on, I believe at 6 in the morning or 6:30, and it doesn't go off until 10:30 or 11 at night. So the TV's
noise.
Always on, and it's at top throttle and a lot of times on ridiculous stuff and a waste of time, he said. And, there's just no place because they don't have individual cells where he's at. It's all open. Mm-hmm. So you've got bunks for 38 people, you know, top and bottom bunks. And then you're all in this one tier together. And so if you're at the back of the tier, you can see to the front of the tier and you can hear. Mm-hmm. And and they have concrete benches that they can sit on or concrete tables that they can sit at. That's all they've got. And so the noise bounces around, and he said there's never a moment we can just be quiet and hear nothing.
I can't even imagine when he gets out what a quiet moment will mean to him. I know, even myself, have you ever been around noise, like where you have to get away? It's like, I need to get away from there. My sister lives with her daughter and their twins, and I only hear the constant noise when I'm on the phone with my sister. And I'm almost like, can you tell them to stop all that noise?
Yeah.
And Dee's like, yeah, you should be here living. It would drive me crazy because I really do need times when I'm just quiet, just shut everything down. So it's interesting. When I read that, I thought he really just, he said he loved that 10 seconds of quiet.
And you know, the noise of life and just going through life. And if you're going through a tough situation, that's a different type of noise that it's always constantly there. And you know, I would encourage people to find that quiet. I'm an extrovert. I love being around people. But I've learned over the years that if I don't pull away and have time quiet, and a great model of this was Jesus did that.
Yes.
Over and over. In fact, he's a great model of being able just to pull away. And he didn't always have his 12 disciples with him or all the people following him. He pulled away alone and got quiet. And there's something about pulling away and getting that noise shut off.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's a great to think that Jesus needed to do that and he was God. That doesn't show us that we do need to just, well, what is our theme at the end? Be still and know that I am God. I think sometimes if we're not still and quiet, we'll miss really the voice that he might be trying to speak to us, maybe through what's on our hearts and our minds.
Right.
I know I get, when I have to do things, if I have to go somewhere and speak or present something, I make sure that I spent at least one day that week of nothing, just walking around, doing what I do, and listening.
Yeah.
And then I take notes. Like, I'll write it down. Something will come to my mind, and I know it's of the Holy Spirit.
And I have to jump in on that because I speak quite often. And you know, the busier I get in ministry and doing, I can't even say good stuff, I find that I get way too busy. And that's a great thing to realize. You take a day, you have to take those. And yes. I'm learning even for myself that it's so easy to get into my week, and if I don't have a plan to spend a day or a significant amount of time, it doesn't happen.
Yep.
Because as soon as I walk into the office or a phone call or you're off to the hospital, you're off to do something. And so when you're in the middle of crisis, like maybe some of the people listening today, you need to intentionally find that time.
And you know what? Put the cell phone somewhere else for 2 hours. You know, don't go on the computer. I'm telling you, and I'm not techno, but I'm turning into an addict since I got this new cell phone that I can get emails. I'm constantly checking my phone. I'm looking like you used to look. And I used to say, I'm going to hit him on the head with a book because he's texting or looking at his phone while I'm talking. Well, guess what? There I was this whole week. My dad's in the hospital and I'm in there. The nurse is talking to me and I hear bing and I look down at my phone. Wonder who that was. Come on, we really have to make boundaries with our technology.
Yeah, and I find that I will, if I don't have my phone with me sometimes, I'll look for it and go find it, make sure everything's okay. But because recently, in the last couple of weeks, I've actually started taking it and turning it off. I mean, it's on, but turning the ringer off and turning the vibrate off so that I don't know if I'm getting a call or not. And it's amazing that I'm finding a little bit of an improvement in just, you know, being able to have some time off.
It's important. I really think we need to stress that. It's really important.
You remember a day when you used to call someone, and if they didn't answer, you had to call back?
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah, and I remember my parents would shut that ringer off, you know, but in order to contact somebody, you had to call their home.
Yep.
Now, we almost expect an instant, if I'm going to call you, I want instant feedback. And I've learned that, you know, I'll wait until it's convenient or until I can get back to someone.
Right, right. Well, the topic that we want to talk about today was actually what Scott talked about with Matt. So I'm curious a little bit to pick his brain on that. Apparently, you guys were talking about defense mechanisms, and we all have defense mechanisms. But how would you describe a defense mechanism?
Defense mechanisms are something that we create or we have. Some are healthy and a lot are unhealthy. But in ways to react to the stresses of life. Mm-hmm. And when stuff comes at us, when life comes at us fast, that we have those abilities to react. And it taps into the fight or flight nervous systems in our body. And it actually does have strong physiological connections to our body.
How about that?
That's why healthy, and I'm learning this for myself, healthy defense mechanisms are so important. Healthy coping skills, why that is so important. Because when you get into the unhealthy ones, I've even learned that I have some that I do, I don't even know it. And that's when you know that it's become unhealthy.
Well, seriously, what would you say? Give me an example.
Okay. Lashing out is not a healthy.
Okay.
So lashing out would be you lash out and you take verbal jabs and shots or you're going to hurt somebody. A lot of marriages do this.
Yes.
You know how to push buttons. The passive aggressive. The passive aggressive is where you kind of agree on the front end or you're the silent treatment, but yet you're going to go around behind the back and you're going to pull something off that's you know, detrimental.
I'm passive aggressive, according to my husband. Just so you all know. And
well,
not in that way, in the back way, but I know how to say things in a very passive way that can really zing you.
Yeah.
So I'm working on that. And I didn't realize that was a defense mechanism. How about that?
Well, anytime you stop and realize that you're hurt, mm-hmm. and here's what I've learned for myself. When I'm hurting, I have a tendency to become a porcupine.
Okay.
Or some people become a powder keg, some people become a porcupine. And if you've ever seen one, I've seen one live in the wilderness when I was hiking one day, came up on one. And if you get close enough, they can kind of project their quills, not very far. But that's the deal. You become a porcupine. You want to shoot quills out to keep other people away. Or more than that, it's a defense mechanism to keep them from being able to hurt you anymore.
Yes.
And so most of it, when you find yourself hurting or when you find yourself feeling something, whether it's hurt or a threat, then that's when you stop and say, no, wait a minute. Why am I doing this? And is this reaction correct?
Right.
In fact, let's take a quick break, and then when we come back from the break, Ann, we'll talk some more about defense mechanisms and how to identify them. We are grateful to Fresh Start Broadcasting. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for them and their support. We hope you check out some of their other radio shows. You can find us and you can find more shows from them at www.freshstartbroadcasting.com. We'll be right back after the break.
You've been listening to That Guy's Mom here on Fresh Start Broadcasting, and we'll be right back with more of the program after this brief announcement from one of our sponsors.
Have you ever heard of the mustard seed guy? Well, in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus said, "Because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Now imagine the possibilities if you were debt-free. Stress would melt away. Relaxing on Sunday would not have to be second-guessed. There would be time for the family again, and life would all around be more enjoyable. This is what Matthew Lurkey of Tulsa, Oklahoma is striving for. Follow his story as he trades his way out of debt, one item at a time, and starting with just one mustard seed. Matthew was tired of working 60-plus hours a week, not getting to go to church or see his family. He needed something more. After changing jobs and a drastic pay cut, bills began to mount and credit cards were the only option. So Matthew was asking God for answers, and here's how he felt God responded. Trade your way out of debt, one step at a time, each time improving on what you have. Have faith in me, and I will provide for you. Rely on me wholeheartedly, and I shall care for you. Well, you might ask, what good could come out of all this? Now you can find out and follow this evolving story of faith at www.trademeoutofdebt.com. Again, that is www.trademeoutofdebt.com, and follow Matthew as he trades his way out of debt, one step at a time. Once again, that is www.trademeoutofdebt.com, and follow Matthew as he's on his journey.
Welcome back to That Guy's Mom here on Fresh Start Broadcasting. So here she is, picking up right where she left off.
Well, welcome back after the break. We are here with Ann Mayer, who is That Guy's Mom, and we hope that you've gone to the website, The Matt Mayer Story, because there's a lot more information, a lot of inspirational writings, both from Matt and the family of Hort Kapp, who was the man killed in the drunk driving accident. But, Ann, we're talking today about what defense mechanisms we have and how they play out. And I want to encourage people, if you're sitting there saying, oh, I don't have any, then my first thing is, oh, yeah, you do. And here's how you find out, because I know I've said that. No, I'm not defensive, or I don't. You'll find out what your defense mechanisms are by talking to those closest to you. Mm-hmm. You know, talking to a wife, talking to, for me, talking to people, some of my friends and colleagues. And you've got to be able to be open and receive it and say, I want you to tell me, is there something you see me doing?
Right.
I know that throwing out barbs can be one of mine. And unfortunately, the way I learned that is through my marriage, because we'll both kind of do that, and I can have a sharp tongue, and
right.
I've had to learn that that's not a good defense mechanism.
Right. Well, you know, when I think of defenses, I think of denial, regression, acting out, and one thing about defense mechanisms is that you can mask your true emotions with them. And I think personally, and I've shared this on a radio show a while back, I believe, but I remember when my son John died. He died December 15th, and I do assembly programs in the school. And my scheduled assembly program was January 7th. I remember thinking it was only a couple weeks away from his death, number one. Number two, when I do assembly programs, part of how I begin my programs is with humor with the kids. So I have to be really light and funny and engaging. And I was dreading going into these schools where the teachers all knew about what had happened and how they would receive it. And I didn't even want to be bothered, truly, with anybody coming over and saying they were sorry, because I was very tenuous. I was very vulnerable. And so I wound up, and I've shared this, I know I have, I walked into that school like Happy Gilmore. You would have never known there was a thing wrong with me. I had to put on such a, like, you know, I kept people at a distance. I did not allow 1 second of empty time or space for anybody to approach me.
Right.
And I realized when I got home, wow, you really can.
Put on a show.
Yep, you really can.
And, you know, I live in a profession where we're supposed to be on all the time and not have problems.
Mm.
I don't do that. I do not do that. I can't. I don't have that mechanism. But, yeah, it's very easy to do that and say, okay, I've got to put on a happy face. And I know that there have been times when I've been hurting, and
yeah,
and I do the same thing. To keep people at a distance, you just kind of – you have those hit-and-miss conversations. Hey, good to see you. And then keep moving.
Yeah, you just keep it moving. Oh, man, I'll tell you. Well, I was thinking back. Look at this. First of all, when you use defense mechanisms, I think it's emotionally hard work. It's stinking draining because
yes,
it's almost
it is.
Like you're putting on this fake facade that's there to protect you, but at the same time, it's taking a drain on you.
And
so
it does take more energy. Emotional baggage takes way more energy, that kind of stuff, just like lying. It
right.
takes more energy.
Well, you know, look at this. We have Adam and Eve in the garden.
Yes.
Now, we could see defense mechanisms were born in the Garden of Eden when they sinned and when Eve disobeyed and the Lord came looking for them. What did Adam do? First thing he did, now he complied with Eve, but instead of saying, yeah, you know, I did, he blamed it on Eve and said, the woman you gave to me.
Well, actually, he was just pointing out a fact.
Yeah,
I'm
listen
not sure
to this.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, he doesn't see anything
it's
wrong
the woman's
with
fault.
It was the woman's fault.
And in a sense, he was saying, God, you did this.
You did this, God,
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Which we know is off track there.
Absolutely.
But see, diverting responsibility, that will bring up huge defense mechanisms.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's what we see in the garden. I was thinking about the story of Abraham. Now, if you don't know about Abraham, he was married to Sarah, who was apparently extremely beautiful. They don't say that a lot in scriptures, but when they do, you better take note.
Right, exactly.
You know, if they say they were handsome in form and appearance or they were beautiful, and Sarah was known to be beautiful, so I can imagine that she was a knockout. And so they're going through some territory where Abraham was afraid she was so attractive that the king there would want to take her as part of his harem. And instead of having faith in God, he tells her, hey, listen, could you pretend you're my sister? This way, you know, I won't be killed. He was really after his own skin. Now, pretend you're my sister.
Yeah.
And what happened was she was taken into the harem. Now, thankfully, nothing went further than that because God intervened.
Yeah.
But the defense mechanism there is really the fact that he lied, that he distorted the truth. And that's another way.
Yeah, and a very unhealthy way. It's sad, but in our day and age, we kind of rationalize.
Yes.
And I'm not immune to this. No, I don't think anybody is. How much do I tell? Do I tell everything?
Yes.
And so here's Abraham, who in their context could have had his life threatened.
Yes.
But by the end of all this, he, you know, almost gave his wife away to another man.
Yeah.
And then the king was not too happy when it was all over. So he was probably not far from where he would have been if he just told the truth, and who knows where it would have been from
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but you see, you're right. That's just it. We sometimes rationalize that this isn't so bad.
Yeah.
And that's it. That is a dangerous thing, and we see that in Scripture, and we see it in our own lives.
Yeah, and that, you know, as we go through these, that's, I think, a very powerful point. None of us are immune to this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Even being a Christian, following God, does not give you immunity, but it does insulate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have the hope that there is a God who is looking out for our well-being and
right.
does know how we were designed to live. And when we pull situations like this, like all of us have,
yeah.
you know, Scripture says that there is a God who's graceful
mm-hmm.
and forgiving when we want to follow after him. And all these characters, everything they did, you know, Abraham is the father of faith, father of nation,
yes.
God's chosen people.
Yes.
And you would almost think, man, he could have given up on him. He was a liar, deceitful. He almost gave his covenantal relationship with his wife away. But yet, you know, God is God.
Yeah.
And he's God in all those situations. So no matter what we find ourselves doing defensive-wise,
mm-hmm.
instead of getting more defensive, instead of holding on to unhealthy defense mechanisms, we can realize God loves us unconditionally, and he
right.
wants to see us healthy and to see us grow.
Yeah, that's the truth. And I love that scripture that says, search out my heart, O Lord, and try me and know my ways and see if there be any wickedness in me. You know, what you can do, ask God. Hey, I say that all the time because, boy, I when you have the Holy Spirit in you, you should be convicted of it. That means when you do it, you should have some little twinge that I'm doing it. And
right.
I know when I'm being passive aggressive, trust me, I know it. It's calculated. I'll know how to get somebody and just seem like I'm just being this smiley, sweet person. See, there's an evil side in me too, Scott.
Yeah, there you go.
It's because I hang around with him. That's what it is.
Exactly.
But, I mean, it's dangerous. So you have to really put yourself in check. And that's really, God doesn't demand perfection, but he does demand that we are submitting to him and allowing his spirit to work.
Right.
I was thinking of another person, David. All right, I love David. The story of King David. David and Goliath, that's who we're talking about here. Well, he's king, and he wants a woman that he sees who's married. Her husband's at war, and he asks for her to come, and then they wind up sleeping together. She gets pregnant. We've talked about her before. Well, the interesting thing is, because David was one of God's children, God sent a prophet to David to basically give an analogy to let him know how upset God was with it. And he says, you know, David, there was this man and he had everything. And there was this neighbor that only had one little lamb. And this man came and said, give me that lamb. I want that lamb. And he took that lamb. And David's like, are you kidding me? So the prophet goes, what should we do? And he's like, who is this person? Let's have him killed. How dare he not be satisfied? And then the prophet says, you are that man. And I think what you see when Samuel's describing that, he's not even getting that it's him.
Right.
When we start to build, think about a big wall. The better you get at defense mechanisms, the thicker the wall around you becomes, the less penetrable it will be.
Yeah.
And that's what we see there.
Great point too, because so often it's easy for us to have these mechanisms and not know we do them.
Right.
And by asking someone else or to take your guard down long enough to say, this may not feel good, right, but I need you to talk to me and be straight with me. It takes us to really grow up and mature. It really takes us to take a deep breath and say, all right, let me know what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. And you do it because of maturity and growth.
Right.
You do it because we need to grow. And I have always found that, you know, Psalms 139 that you quoted has always been one of my, actually books of the Bible I go back to in that chapter and just say, wow, okay, God, search me. And there are times when it hasn't necessarily been sin out and outright that he shows me.
Right.
But it has been unhealthy mechanisms, whether it's passive aggressive or being negative, and he will show us. And it's important for us to be able to acknowledge those and be able to look at them and say, okay, let's take this out. Let's talk about it.
I think in life, when problems hit you, when disaster comes upon you, shame, embarrassment, even something like grief of the death of someone, you can build walls around yourself. And that's where you really have to be on guard. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with being vulnerable. I believe that as a Christian, and if you're a Christian, then ask the Lord to abide in you in such a strong way that it won't matter what people think, no matter what your situation is. Because I'll tell you, Scott, when Matt's situation happened, and I've shared this before, but we had to go to some political events shortly after that, which I declined as many as I could, but there was a couple that I had to go to. And I did the same thing there. I put on Joe Happy Face, you know. I was like overly doing it, you know, hi, how are you? And It's draining. And so I think now, as I've been through this even longer, and time does have a way of working things out, but I hope that in the future that I could just really just abide in Christ and not care what people think, because it was extremely draining. And then isn't that really being all about yourself, really taking your eyes off God? And I know it's human nature. I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying it's easy. But I don't believe God wants us to do that. I think he wants us to be transparent. And, you know, people see God through us.
Yes. And when the disciples, here's a great example. The disciples followed Jesus when he died and went back to heaven after his ascension. They changed the world. They eventually toppled the Roman government because of the way they lived and their conduct. And they lived differently.
Yeah.
And so if you see the world telling you to be defensive and to have those unhealthy defense mechanisms to keep a wall up and to put people out or to even be fake, and I'm just going to be flat out and tell you, it's one of the things I hate about the church is we have a lot of people taught to be fake.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times you can go to church and people put on a dress up and look nice and put on cologne, and then next thing you know, they're divorced. And you go, well, wait a minute, they looked fine at church.
Yeah.
And this worries me a little bit because my daughter's now in junior high, but I would go on trips with teenagers and they would share about what really is going on in their families sometimes. And I learned to take it for what it was worth, but there's always something, it seems like, going on in our lives. And if we walk around like that, we don't have any problems, then we're not only kidding ourselves, we're really not representing God well. Because God is a God who works in all situations.
Yeah. I remember someone from church saying to me after Matt's thing, I just wish it wasn't so public, as if it was bringing shame on the church.
No, oh, man.
I remember that distinctly, and I remember how I felt when that person said it. Why do you, what, for you, do you wish it wasn't so public? Because you're friends with me, or you know?
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I'm not trying to judge why they said it, but it, you know.
Yeah.
What's the difference between public and private sins?
Nothing. In fact, Scripture tells us that things in the darkness will be brought into the light.
Yeah.
And having a secret or private life is a lot of times very, very damaging. And
oh, yeah, that would be a great topic, because my boys used to say, stop praying so hard for us, Mom. We're the only ones that ever get caught.
Yeah. Well, hopefully today you've found some encouragement and some words that you can apply to your situation, to your life. We hope you'll join us again as we continue to talk about the story that's unfolding in the mayor's life. You can read more at www.themattmayerstory.com. Keep those emails and letters coming. And Matt also said he does enjoy getting mail. You can get his address there and send him mail in prison.
Yes.
And I'm sure that would be encouraging to him. And Ann, we want to thank you again today for sharing with us.
Absolutely. And we want to end our show, as we always do, with Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. God bless.
Well, that's all the time we have today for our program, That Guy's Mom. Be sure and join us here next week as Andrea continues the story of That Guy's Mom, same time, same place, right here on Fresh Start Broadcasting.